CSA Mobile.
CSA, N4ZLK Mobile. Good morning. My name is Shane.
Okay, N5CSA. Good morning to you, Shane. The name here is Roger. I'm down in Anderson.
I couldn't remember your name. I've heard you through the years, and usually about this time in the morning, off and on. It's been a while since I've heard you on the radio, though. I hope you're doing well this morning.
I'm doing okay. I got to go in here for a test at the hospital thing at here at Anderson. So I've just got a few minutes to jump on here. Typically been on Simplex or the local 97. Haven't had the opportunity to hop over here on 6-1 a whole lot, but I do listen occasionally. So glad I got to run into you this morning. Hope all is well with you.
Good. I'm just headed into work, and I hope everything turns out okay. Whatever test you're having there, I hope it's either positive if that's good news or negative if that would be good news. So I wish you well on that.
Yeah, appreciate that. So I hope I pass whatever way it has to be. Then once I get done with this, I'll have to collect my thoughts and stuff and go over to the workplace myself, at least for the afternoon, and get some things done, hopefully. So that's what's on the agenda for the rest of the day, anyway.
Supposed to be a pretty day. I'm not sure yet. It was sunny at the house, but when I got down in the little valley here, it got real foggy. Looks like it's breaking back up again. And of course, it's going to be warm, I'm sure. It's that time of year. That's what's to be expected every day.
Yeah, absolutely. It's South Carolina in the late summertime. As long as we've been here, it's not new to us. It's not a surprise. So, I was talking to somebody the other day. Remember growing up here in Anderson, South Carolina? We didn't have any air conditioning back then. I just think now, I wonder how we made it.
That is true. I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and I was talking to my mother the other day, and I was just talking about a couple of houses that we lived in, and I knew that one of them, we had a little window unit that we would use just a little bit at night to kind of cool it off a little bit, and then, you know, the door was open just with the screen door, the windows were open. And then the next house we lived in the early 80s, it didn't have air either. And, I don't even remember being uncomfortable. It's just the way it was. And she came over from England in the 60s. They don't have air over there for the most part. And they're suffering right now. They got a heat wave going on. But she remembers, she came from England and went right to Florida. And she said, when my oldest brother was born, she said, we go to the grocery store and walk around just to get into some AC for a little while. It was so hot.
Yes, hey, yeah. I spent a little bit of time in Germany, and like you say, they don't have air conditioning there, so it's all of Europe and the UK are suffering pretty badly, but yeah, that's pretty interesting. You go to the grocery store to get the AC, and I imagine there are some folks that are having to do that now. But I'm believing that I had returned from Germany, so it was along about 82 when we first got a window unit to go right to my mom and dad's house. That cooled basically two rooms, and that was it. If you went to the bedroom, you better have the fan going over.
You'd have a fan blowing out during the day to try to circulate air through, or pull that air condition from the, you know, mom and dad's bedroom because they had the window unit. And then at nighttime, you turn the fan around trying to blow in some cool air. So, yeah, I remember those days. But that's what we did, and we didn't think anything of it. And most of our cars didn't have air conditioning either.
You're absolutely right about that also. I think this vehicle I have right now, I've had it a number of years, but it's the first vehicle I ever owned that really had what I considered functioning air conditioning. And that's a good thing at this time of year to have it. So what kind of work do you get to do over there, Shane?
What do I get to do? I work for UPS. I've been there a little over 31 years. I've done just about everything there is to do except management, and I don't want to do any of that. Right now, I'm driving a tractor-trailer for them, and in my opinion, it's the easiest job there, but it took me a long time to get there.
Yeah, if you've arrived someplace doing something you like to do, that's a good thing. That's just real good. Thank goodness for all the folks in transportation that are moving stuff around nowadays. I tell you what, there have been some challenges with our business. We weave high performance fiberglass and other fabrics, and getting some stuff, especially if it's got to go on a ocean on a vessel, that has been a challenge.
Imagine, and everything's a challenge right now. Fuel costs affect everything, and I don't think we've seen the worst of it yet, but I can imagine trying to get something on a container that I think they're so backed up, don't have enough empties to ship stuff back, I guess, from what I've heard.
Not sure, but I think we have one that's arriving next week, that was order placed in February. So I know that's no surprise to you, but that's just kind of how it is right now. So anyway, I guess I'm going to go ahead and walk up the hill here to get registered and do all that, so that I'll be ready to get going whenever they get ready. But it's been a great opportunity to talk to you, Shane. Like I say, I hear you on here, and I listen to you and Dave and some of the other fellows, and get on here once or twice talking to Jerry. He lives here in Anderson. So anyway, it was great speaking with you this morning, and I hope you have a great day out there on the road. Be careful.
Enjoyed it, and I hope everything goes well today. And nice to... I know I've talked to you before briefly, but it's good to meet you again, and good to hear you. N5CSA, N4ZLK, 73 to you.
We'll get to it again someday. N5CSA, mobile clear.
Check that.
2HXS, N4ZLK, good morning.
Hey, Shane. I was just threw my call in there. I don't know if you guys are done or not. I'm heading myself down to Malden. Go take care of something for one of my customers, and then I'm heading back to the house, maybe. Unless my phone rings.
Good to hear you this morning. Yeah, I think Richard said he was clearing out to go into where he was. And I have a little story for you that I heard you mention it yesterday, and I was just going to give you my own personal experience. I won't give any names, but I'll just tell you what happened briefly.
Okay, I got a few minutes to the destination here. Go ahead.
Should I start with Once Upon a Time?
Oh, please. Oh, the best stories start with that.
January, my heat went out. The fan would run, but didn't have any heat, and had a gas heat. So I looked up, the neighborhood had some recommendations, and I called a company out. And I followed him around. We went under the house. He was looking at the unit, and it is an old unit. The house is a little over 20 years, and I knew it had some rust inside the furnace there, or inside the heat exchange. Anyway, he was looking, and he finally, I watched him pull a vacuum hose off and look at it and put it back on, and then he finally concluded that my circuit board was bad because he couldn't get a reading, and it would probably cost $1,000 even if he could replace the circuit board.
Wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
That switch tripped, and the blower kept running, right?
No, the the third person that came out pulled the vacuum tube, that same vacuum tube off, and saw that rodent had chewed a hole into it, and he just replaced the hose and it kicked right back on.
Yeah, with that vacuum tube, what it does when your exhaust motor comes on, it pulls a vacuum to a diaphragm to complete a circuit to get the valve to open up and let the gas come through. So, yeah, that other guy was trying to rip you off.
Anything about it. We talked to him about a price, you know, replacing the unit, and it just seemed really high. And we finally settled that we'd go ahead and replace the unit. And I found somebody else that came and looked at it, and their price was half for the same size, everything, and replacement, labor, and everything. It was half of what they wanted to charge.
I don't like the name drop on the radio. You know, you want to talk about stuff like that, I'll talk about it off the air, but. Yeah, I'm very reasonable with my. I mean, I'm extremely reasonable with my pricing. Because I don't need to rip people off for one, and number two, I don't need to rip people off. I got an install coming up in a couple of weeks. I'm just waiting on some equipment and Jimmy's schedule, and we're gonna do it. You know. And we're going to walk away with a couple of bucks in our pocket, and everything's going to be fine. You know, I just don't understand. I understand to a point, these companies have to cover their overhead and stuff like that, but not when you go out during the middle of the day, during working hours, you're charging $150 to show up to someone's house on a service call. $150 plus parts. And that's and then the parts are just astronomical. It's crazy.
Pretty irritated. I was going to call them and, you know, just say, look, either your guy's not capable or he's trying to rip me off, which you guys would know. I never did. I drive by them every day. They're not there when I drive by at the time, but I think about it a lot, and I never did call them. I just figured, oh, well, it's on them.
Well, word of mouth spreads pretty quickly, you know, positive and negative. And, you know, that's all I can say about that. You know, you reap what you sow kind of thing.
I know so many people, and I almost did. We almost purchased it. We felt like we were in an emergency. It was like, what, 25 degrees outside. We had the gas fireplace, but, you know, that's not going to do long term. So I can see something happened to my mother when a plumbing issue several years ago. You know, it just happens, and that kind of stuff just irritates me in here. I almost fell for it.
Replacing the gas heater, or did you leave it alone?
Replaced. We knew we were going to have to eventually, and since we had we were in that situation, had kind of settled on that we were going to, and then we got such a good, a reasonable deal, we just thought, well, let's just go ahead and do it. It's so much better than what it was, and I'm sure that everything is going to go up here soon, so we went ahead and replaced it.
Okay. We'll talk about that again. Yeah, I'm getting ready to replace my water heater. I got to repipe some of the gas line in my house, I'm going to pull the electric water heater out and put a gas water heater in, put a nice 96%er in. My electric bill is crazy because of that damn thing. That's one of the first things I'm going to yank. Then I'm going to change over to gas heat.
The dual fuel, we use the gas for emergencies. It drops down below 35 degrees, I think I have it set at. It switches over. We've got an LP tank. And I've noticed the difference. I was comparing my electric bill from last summer to this summer, and gas bill's gone down, or the LP bill's gone down, the electricity's gone down. We're really pleased, and I still love that gas heat when it gets really hot.
Oh, no, propane is very expensive. What's around like $4 and $5 a gallon for propane?
When we moved there about 5 years ago, I start signed up for some deliveries, they said if you sign up on a payoff plan, you know there's no interest, and if you sign up, it'll lock you in on the price. So I'm locked in at under $3.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. When we moved in 2 years ago, they had one of those glass top stoves in my kitchen. I'm like, oh, this thing's got to go. And we found a gas stove in Lowe's, of all places. They had a discontinued, really nice one, 5-burner with an oven. And I was hunting around for, propane, and it was like over $5 and change a gallon. I'm like, oh, my God. And you got to rent the tank and all the install. And once I found out I had natural gas in the street, I hung up on the propane dealers and I called CPW. I said, get out here. My gas bill runs about $14 a month because all we do really is cook on it.
We want to get a gas stove eventually. We did replace the water heater with a gas, tankless water heater. And I love it. It saves so much. I can run it off my generator. When the power goes out, I got hot water. Don't have to worry about that. So I don't have the in-home or all-home generator or whatever, but I've got enough that I can run everything we need.
In my thinking, too, get off that 220-volt water heater and get on a gas water heater because, it doesn't happen too often that you actually lose gas flow, so you'll have... And then the same thing with, when I change over to gas heat, that runs on 110 volts instead of 220, and you don't have to run the damn heat strips. I'm not going to get a dual fuel. I'm not a big fan of the dual fuels, but in your particular case, yeah, that's a better way to go because of the propane. You don't want to burn up all that propane on the heat. Use the heat pump down to 35 or 30 or 40 degrees and then let it change over.
And if the power goes out there, too, I can run it. I just switch it to the emergency heat, which is what the heat pump, I mean, not the heat pump, the gas. It doesn't say emergency heat. You can just switch it over and make it run on that. And I can run the heat off the generator as well. So that was my plan. We've lost power several times a year up here. Anytime there's major windstorm, trees go down, or any kind of ice, we usually lose power.
Not beneficial to you. What part of the area do you live in?
Down Highway 11, closer to Table Rock.
Is that on the South Carolina side or North Carolina? Yeah, I'm not. I'm a little ignorant. I don't know. I don't know the area that well yet.
You ain't from around here.
What heavy New York Brooklyn accent, so you get confused, you know.
In a quarter of a mile.
GPS too.
I know. Shush you.
We seem to be okay. I'm not ready to run you back yet, or back down south, whichever.
Oh, now, come on now. I don't come up here imposing my will on people. I don't get on the radio and say, you know, back in New York, we did it differently. We had a character for me anyway. I don't go around, throw my weight around, as it were, or throw my attitude around. I like it around here. I don't want to get shot at. KB2HX says mobile.
About that doesn't happen.
I'll get some of you your local folks around here run me off with my attitude. You know, I don't say y'all. I say Greer, not Gur. You know, Steve gives me hell all the time.
Speaking about 90 miles an hour.
I hear some folks from New York. Man, they talk fast. I talk at a moderate. I guess moderate speed, but you get up there, you got the hand signals and everything. You know, you get the whole nine.
Sure, still how you say your call so fast, but I know you've had it a long time, so that's probably why.
He was just saying it a little fast. I apologize. You know, I'm sorry, but like you say, I've had it for late '80s. 88, 89, I forget when I got it, so what is that, like, probably, what, 30-some years?
I didn't know you were that old. Wow. You sound a little younger on the radio.
I was 59, my friend. I'll be 60 next year.
not far behind you. I got an older brother about that age, so I guess it's not too bad.
If you keep going and stay active, you know, eat right, take your vitamins, that kind of thing, you know, I'm in pretty good shape for my age, I feel pretty good, you know, don't let things bother me, and don't stress out over silly things, you know, you'll live longer.
You have a grateful, happy attitude. It seems to affect your health. It helps your health a lot better. I know there's exceptions, but it seems to be the case.
Stress is one of the big killers. You know, if you sit out here and stress over little silly things, you know, like money and you know, and oh my God, who's talking about me? And I don't really care who's talking about me. You know, whatever, I go about my business, and my attitude is keep a smile on my face and harm to none, and that's pretty much my attitude.
Don't care when people talk about you, because now we can stop doing it on the phone and just get back on the radio and talk about you.
Oh, hey, heck, I'll jump in and make fun of myself. You kidding me?
Got LK Mobile. In there, I heard something. The AC business out in Florida as well?
Yeah, well, I drove for Allied Van Lines for a long time. I was an owner-operator out of New York, and I moved down to Florida in 2000. And the agency I was working for had an office in Vero Beach, and I got to be pretty good friends with the fellow running that office there, and, you know, I moved down and moved into the area, so we didn't have to switch companies or anything. All I had to do was switch trailers, make sure the right letters were on a trailer, you know, and stayed with it for a couple more years, and then I jumped out of the truck in 04 and got into air conditioning.
Experience in HVAC before that, or was it just a job came open and you went there with it?
Very little experience. Coming from New York, you know, we didn't have central air up there. You know, you had baseboard oil heat, and then, you know, in the summertime, you put the air conditioning units in the window, that kind of thing. But I'm pretty mechanically inclined. I picked up on it pretty quick. I did a few online courses. I watched a lot of YouTube and just learned from people. You know, learned from the guys that have been out there for a long time.
Done a little research on air conditioning. Got something going on in my automobile here, and it works awesome until it decides to quit blowing cold air, and then it'll reset itself after a little while, and then sometimes it'll go for weeks without doing anything. So I'm thinking, logically, I've been doing some research, I'm thinking it might be the high pressure switch, but I don't know. I'm trying it out and see what happens.
Well, it could be your expansion valve too. They're known to go bad once in a while. They'll stick open or something. And make sure you get in there and you clean the radiators off, especially the condenser coil. With the red clay and the dirt and whatnot around here, if that gets clogged up, that'll mess you up big time.
Yeah, I'll check that out. I don't take this vehicle off-road. It could go, but it stays pretty clean. I'll have to check it out. But, yeah, I mean, when it works great for, you know, days and days and days, and then it might act up on the way home a little, two or three times, or just once, and then it'll be a while before it does it again.
Temperature, you know, like I say, you can get a temperature, like those little clamp-on temperature probes, and clamp it onto the evaporator line under the hood and just kind of monitor it a little bit and see what it does.
Check into that.
On your compressor, see if it's kicking in and out. The compressor could be weak. You know, the magnet on the clutch could be weak. Check your connections at the compressor where it plugs in. Yeah, it could be a bunch of different things. You know, you don't have gauges. Be very, very careful hooking gauges up, because those are they're quick disconnects, and you have to get the adapters. I have a set of adapters for the R134 setup. You can check your Freon level and whatnot, but just be very careful with that.
Deep. I'm going to be careful. I'm just doing some reading and thinking about it, and then I'll probably end up taking it somewhere.
Yeah, I'm not the foremost vehicle guy. I don't really like working on the vehicles because it's just not my forte, you know. I know what the pressure should be. I know what it, you know, I know what it should do, but really don't like digging into the vehicles.
Just for?
True. But once again, you know, I like the residential stuff. I like getting in there and doing what I have to do there.
Well, I heard that word in there, forte.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, well, you pick up certain words along the way, I guess. KB2HXS for ID, y'all.
But okay, you're getting it.
I'm learning. You can learn, you know, old dogs can learn new tricks, you know. I'll get it after a while.
Around time on the radios when you sent yours down to that place.
Say that one more time. I missed it.
Approximate turnaround time on that radio that you sent down to Georgia.
It was about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, something like that.
All right, the best time to do it. We've got some company coming in next week, and I won't be able to get any radio time while they're here. I might try to send it down that time, so I at least don't take up all my free time without that radio.
I mean, with all that big money you make, you don't have a backup radio? What is wrong with you?
Actually, but I really like this one.
Now, listen, I'm getting down here where I got to be, and I got to make a turn here. Whoops, got to go past the train tracks, Dave, and I got to make a turn here. So I'm getting close to my destination, Shane. Let me get out of here. N4ZLK, KB2HXS.
Hey, it's good to hear you. I enjoyed it. KB2HXS, N4ZLK.
Wow, you said it faster than me that time. Have a good morning, Shane. KB2HXS is out of here.
Practicing, N4ZLK.